Take your Bible tonight. Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And if you'd stand with me tonight, we're going to read, we'll read the whole chapter here, just the 26 verses here. I want to read that and then get into our message this evening. John chapter 17, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me, and I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, as we've sang songs that have been praising to you and honoring to you, and God, as we've lifted up our requests and needs in prayer, and Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together tonight, and then now as we come to the preaching of your word, God, I pray you'd be honored in the preaching. God, I pray you'd just give me clarity of thought and speech, that I'd speak those things that would be beneficial and to those that are here tonight. And Father, we just ask in all things that we'd honor you, that would bring you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter 17, where this is after what we would call the Last Supper. This is Jesus on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples. And he is praying to the Father here, and we get to kind of really just kind of listen in as he prays to the Father. And here we find that he, as he talks with the Lord, we find him praying for the disciples in particular. But then in verse number 20, we see that he not only is praying for the disciples that are there with him, he looks down through ages of time and he sees those, you and I, those that would believe because of the testimony of the disciples and those that they would see brought to the Lord and that they would see brought to the Lord. And down through time, he says, neither pray I for these alone, the 12, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so knowing, know this, that even then, even before the crucifixion, before he gets to Gethsemane, Jesus, hey, we can find comfort. He's praying for you and I. And here's what he, as he's praying this prayer to the Father, he's praying for the believers. He's praying, he's prayed about early here. We see where he's prayed about their security, their safety from the world. If we look in verse 11, he says, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. They're going to be in the world. He says, they're staying. He says, you're here in the world. But listen, because of Jesus Christ, he says, you're no longer of this world. He says, just like Christ was not of this world, he says, you aren't of this world. You're not going to fit in. And he asked the Lord, hey, keep them in this world. You keep them he's asking for their safety from not only the world, but then look in verse 15. He's asked that God would keep them from the evil. I pray now that thou shouldest take them, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So he's praying for their security, for their safety in the world, from the evil that is in the world. And he also prays in verse number 17 for their sanctification, that they would be set apart from this world. And he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then we come down to this section here in verse number 21 here. And he's praying for these different things. But then where I want to focus on is in verse number 21, he says this, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Over and over we see this phrase, that they may be one. That they may be one. It's the Lord's desire is that we would be one. And we might use the term unity. We might be in unity, or another Bible term for the same thing is like-minded. And we see that throughout the Word of God, this desire that God would have his people be like-minded, be as one. And now, back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Romans 15, 6, that they may be with one mind, that they may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whoso whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Philippians 4:2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You get the idea that God wants us to be like-minded, or as Jesus put it, that would be one. That's a theme throughout the Word of God. This idea of being one. Now, we are all individuals, and, I would venture to say not everybody has the same favorite color. I don't even have the same favorite color as my wife. Her favorite color is red. I like blue, So does that mean we're not of the same mind? We have different sports teams we like that we're very passionate about. We have different abilities, different skill sets, different things that we do. God has wonderfully given us individuality and things that we are all, not a one of us is exactly the same. You're not like me and I'm not like you, and you go, phew, I'm glad. So what is he talking about when he says, I want you to be one? What is it that we're to be like-minded or to be in unity about if it's not in our physical characteristics? What we're to be one has, and what to be to like-minded is, we're to have the mind of Christ. We're to, on the things of God, we're to think the same about the things of God. And we're to respond to the will of God. We're going to see that in a little bit, all in the same manner. We ought to take, just like, Paul uses the analogy of a body. Of course, a body is all different parts, and we've got wonderfully individualized parts of our body that do specific things, yet has a whole, a healthy, functioning body pulls together to do whatever the task that the head of that body says, hey, we're going to do this. A healthy body pulls all in the same direction. They're like-minded. It's just, when we have problems, when what our head wants to, our body says, I'm not going to do what the head tells me what to do, that's not a healthy body. And so that's what we're talking about, this oneness, this unity. And so the Lord wants us, tonight I want us to see that the Lord wants us to be as one. And so first of all, I want us to see that he gives us this a standard of unity. There is a standard, there is a measure, and it's a pretty high one. The standard of unity, listen, he says this, that they may be one in verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Just as Jesus is one with the Father. I mean, they are, when it says, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There's cults and there's those out there that would say, oh, well, that means they're one in purpose or one in, no, they are one in the same. They are, Jesus is all, as much God as God the Father is God, as much as the Holy Spirit is God. But he said, I want you to be one with another, just like God and I are one. And so how was Jesus at one with the Father? Throughout, we see some examples earlier in the book of John. He is kind of giving the argument for his deity to those in his day, and the scribes, the Pharisees, those that were questioned who he is. He had, first of all, he had the same words as the Father. John 7:16-17 tells us, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 8:26, he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. John 8:40, But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So he was telling them over, and he says, I'm just telling you what God says. We're one because we say the same thing. He said, not only that, but we do the same works. He says, I do the same works that God does, the Father does. John 5:19, that said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He says, not only do I speak the same thing, he says, but I do the thing, the works that I do, those are not any different than the works that the Father would do. And then he says he is the same in the fact that he has the same will as the Father. John 6:38-40 said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he is the measure, the standard is we would be as one as he is with the Father. And how is that manifested? The fact that he spake the same things as the Father. He did the same things as the Father. He had the same will as the Father. And that is, that's a pretty high standard. And we ought to, the same way, you know what? Our unity comes as we speak the same things as the Father. How do we know that? Hey, we have his words right here. This is where we can, you know, we can speak exactly the same thing because this is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ right here. We can do the works of the Father, do the works of Jesus, because he's told us right here what we should do. Not that we should just know this, but how it's to live in our life. It works out. And the working out of that, hey, we can be in unity with that. And the will of God, what should God have me do in this situation or that situation? Hey, I can do the will of God because I have the mind of God and the word of God, and I can do that. And if I'll do that like Jesus was one with the Father, we can be as one. We can have that unity. That is the standard of the unity. But then I want us to notice tonight the purpose of the reason. There's a reason that God says, I want you to be one. I want you to be like-minded. I want you to have be pulling in the same direction. And the purpose of that, notice in verse 21, he says, that they may be one even as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that, here's the reason, the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, it gives, when we are like-minded, it gives credibility to the message. You know, when we are at our different opinions and spins on the Word of God, and we kind of, well, here's what I think it means, and well, here's what I think it means, and you know, and here's the way I see it. You know, we discredit really the very word that we say we believe. You know, in this book, there's no room for your interpretation and my interpretation and their interpretation. There's not, this Bible has one message. It has one interpretation. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is any private interpretation. It has a specific message. And when we speak that the message of the word of God, guess what? You'll find we have the same message. And it's not left to, well, here's what I think, and here's what you think, and here's what I believe, and you. No, there is a specific message, and when we're unified, that it gives credibility to the message. Well, how do I know what the right interpretation is? Well, you can find that, number one, through prayer. Psalm 119, 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous thing out of thy things out of thy law. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that enlightens us to the Word of God. And it teaches us. And, you know, so as we've come to this book, we ought to come prayerfully, say, God, would you open my eyes? Would you help me to see what you're saying in here? It comes through prayer. But secondly, it comes through study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, you know, there is some things, you know, there's some things, this is just a wonderful book. You know, there are some things that just reading it, you're going to glean just right off the top. That's why you ought to have this book just, you ought to have some time. You're regularly, daily, just reading, just getting it in and filling your mind with the word of God. And there's some just off the top, there's going to be just some things you're just going to get just from reading, and you go, man, that's a blessing. But, you know, there are some things that don't come except by some study. And you can't just pull a passage here and pull a passage. You've got to study and compare, and you've got to look in context of that. What is he saying? Who was he writing to? When was he writing this? And what was the purpose? And some of that just comes with study to know exactly here's what the message is. You know, be thankful. We've got a pastor who studies. And when we go through these books, you know, of the Bible, he is taking those. He's not just cherry picking some thoughts and saying, well, hell, let me preach this. And let me, he's going through and saying, here's the context. Here's what he's saying. In light of that, here's the application to us. But that's being faithful to the word of God. So if I want to speak and we want to be like-minded, guess what? We've got to be in this book. We've got to read it. We've got to diligently study. And when we are in unity in the Word of God, it gives credibility to the message. But it also, in verse 23, it gives mobility to the message. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that, again, here's the reason, the world may know that thou hast sent me. You know, when we know this book and we're speaking the words of God because we have them right here, and we're doing the work of God, following the will of God like Jesus did with his Father, you know what? You'll find we pull in the same direction. And you know what? There is, you know, it's amazing the progress you can make when you're pulling in the same direction. How many ever played tug of war? Guess what? You're not pulling in the same direction. And you don't, generally, if the sides are pretty even, it's hard to make progress. You know, if you've got a bigger side, you know, a stronger side over here and a weaker side, you know, over there, and this side starts pulling, man, it's not hard to move out and pull. But you know what? Hey, when we're pulling in opposite direction, we're not going, and there's not a lot of progress with that. And so if we want the world to know and get this gospel out and make progress with evangelizing not only our city, but around the world, we've got to pull in the direction. We've got to be like-minded. And like that's what Jesus, we've got to be and operate as one. That's the purpose. And then tonight I want to see, lastly, the way to unity. The way that we are unified, the way that we operate as one, is when we measure by the same standard. You know, in his book, Pursuing the Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer wrote the following. He said this, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become, quote unquote, unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship." What he's saying is there is, you know, in a tuning, now they've got, nowadays they've got electronic devices and all that, but back in the day, they would have a tuning fork. You'd strike this tuning fork, and you say, and it has it's a pitch. It's a standardized pitch, and typically you tune a piano to what's called A440. All right, and you tune that, but you tune it. The standard is the tuning fork, and if we tune that piano to that, and we tuned this piano to that, and you had 100 piano, and you tune, hey, they're all going to be in tune with one another when they're in tune. You know, the thing is, sometimes if you tune that, and then you tune this to that, and you tune that to, you know, by the end of the time, you're not going to be in full tune. It deviates a little bit. And so the same way, our standard, the way that we are, is the way that we become unified, the way that we measure is by measuring by the same standard. The standard here is the Word of God. Listen, it's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not anybody else's idea or thought on the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And so that's the way we come when we measure by the same standard. But then also unity comes when we read the Word of God with a me perspective. What do I mean by that? You know, it's easy, and I find sometimes it's easy, whether you're preaching, teaching, or just studying, sometimes you'll read something, or even just hearing a message. And how many times, and I know I'm not the only one who does this, but you've gone, I hope they're listening to that. I hope he's here. Oh, man, I wish he'd see that. And we read it with somebody else in mind of, they really need this to fix their life. You know, hey, we need to read the Word of God with a me perspective. Hey, if it's written to anybody, it's written to me. And it's in Matthew, I think, when I think of that, I think of the disciples. Again, this is just after what we would call the Lord's Supper, the upper room. And in Matthew's account of that, Matthew 26, Jesus, he tells his disciples that one of them is going to betray him. And you know what I find they don't do? I think it's amazing they don't go, I bet it's Judas. Did you see him? He's, you know. No, they didn't even go, I bet it's Peter. I bet it's, you know. You know what they said? Each, it says, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto the Lord, is it I? And, you know, and, I mean, I think they understood maybe the deceitfulness of their heart. And they said, Lord, could that be me? You know, that's how we need to approach the scripture if we want to have this like-minded, if every one of us would approach the scripture, God, is it I? Is that something that I need to root out or add to or start doing? And that's the spirit we ought to have when we read the Word of God, is this, is it I? And that's what I mean when we read the Word of God with a me perspective. That's the way to unity. We measure by the same standard, but then we read it with a me perspective. So in this prayer, this prayer that we're allowed to kind of really eavesdrop in, really, and hear the Lord just praying, Lord Jesus praying to his Father. He, in this part here, he prays that his followers would be one. And the only way that can happen is if we are individually and then corporately speaking the words of God, doing the work of God and following the will of God that is only found in the Word of God. And though we externally are different, though we're unique in our makeup and our abilities, the Lord's desire is that we would be one, would be like-minded, would be in unity. And so tonight I just ask you, are you doing those things that would bring unity in the body of Christ, that would bring us together? And it comes really right down to it, is this, hey, I've got to spend time here. If I'll spend time here and I'll worry about me being in this book, and you, if you'll worry about being in this book, and you'll worry about being, and each of us, if we are start tuning to the same standard, guess what? There'll be a unity. And you know what? That'll be an answer prayer for the Lord Jesus Christ as he prayed, Father, let them be as one as we are one.